All right. Well, we stopped 1 week for the Sanctity of Life Sunday, and now we go back to the book of James. One whole verse today. So it should be real quick, right? Except for you got two pages on your outline, but, you know, we won't talk about that. Last time we were in James, it was wisdom. The purpose of wisdom in your, the purpose of trials, rather. God's purpose in trials. And now, this week, wisdom in the midst of trials. Trials do overwhelm us from time to time, don't they? We have things come in our life, can be overwhelming. Things can go sideways. And, you know, when they do, what are we supposed to do? In James, he just tells us that we're going to have trials whenever you experience trials. Doesn't say if you do. It says when you do. And we have been told that our faith is going to be tested. We've been told that we're going to need endurance. And these are not things we like to hear. But we all know that life contains its share of all these things from time to time. So again, what are we supposed to do? Or the better question probably would be for the Christian, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? And James begins to address this. It's not an accident. He talks about asking for wisdom right after he gets through saying, you're going to have great trials. You need to consider it joy. In other words, it's not joyful to be in the trials, but you look beyond the trials with joy that those trials are going to end one day, and in some way, shape, or form, God wants to use those trials to magnify himself, to better you, to influence the world for him in some way. And we need to look beyond what is actually happening. And then he gives us a way, or actually a few ways, which we'll get into next week, but starting off with asking for wisdom. Asking for wisdom. And he says now, he says, consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And then in the next breath, he says, now, and it says, lacking nothing. And then he says, now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. And so it says we should be lacking nothing, but if you lack wisdom, if you fail to see the point of what's going on in your life, it's just a hard thing to go through trials and adversity. It just is. We don't want to do it. But when it comes, how do we respond to it? And if it says, if you lack wisdom. Now, when we lack something, we usually seek, you know, if you lack food, you're going to look for food, right? If you're thirsty and you lack water, you're going to look for something to drink. If something's like the other day, vacuum cleaner broke, right? Why do they make them the way they do? I knew the little belt. I knew there was a belt in there that drives it right. I worked for Sears for 34 years fixing stuff, but I never worked on vacuums. And now I know why. Okay? Give me an air conditioner anytime. Flip it over. How hard can it be?
Very.
Four screws, take the screws out. Nothing is loose. Why are these screws there? I lacked wisdom. And so, you know what? I needed information, so go to YouTube, right? There it is. Oh, there's a couple of little holes in there. You got to stick a screwdriver in there and wedge some kind of a latch loose or something. And sure enough, it popped off. So when we lack wisdom, when we lack knowledge, when we lack something that we need, we look for it. looking for wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, we need to look for it. Literally, it's literally speaking of a deficit. We have a deficit of wisdom. When we lack wisdom, we're going to look for it. And usually, we look for it in... There's three places that generally happen. First, we're going to look within. What should I do? You know, so flip over the vacuum cleaner, take the screws out. It still doesn't work. I mean, you know, it still didn't come apart. So I tried doing some stuff, but it wasn't coming loose. I even told my wife, I go, why do they do this, you know? But we look within. We look at our knowledge. We look at our perspective on it. We look within. Or, when that doesn't work, we look without. We go to someone. Hey, I've got this situation in my life. What should I do? Or, we say, what do you think I should do? And we consider those things. And then, you know, when it's just you, you decide. Then you bring other people into it. Now you are going to help. They're going to help you decide. And we can look without. And the problem is, when it comes to spiritual things, or things for the Christian, everything is a spiritual thing, by the way, when you're a Christian. But I remember being at work, and guys would be having things going on in their life, and they would just ask the other guys. And you get some pretty worldly wisdom. Some wisdom that's not reflected out of this book. So we can look within and we can look without. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong. In fact, the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. So, but who are you going for the counsel, folks? You know, you go into your buddy at work that doesn't have a spiritual bone in his body. Or you can go to people that are not perfect, but they're trying to serve God, and they're, you know, they want to do what's right, and they have some knowledge of this word. That's a good place to go. And you get several around the table, and you'll get some pretty good wisdom there. The third place, though, we can look up, huh? And that's what James is talking about. God, what should I do? I need wisdom. Use this trial to increase my wisdom of you, of your people, or of my life. God, what should I do? I need wisdom. Because I don't get why this is happening to me. I don't see how you can use this for any good. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation where you're like, there is no way anything good comes out of this? Look at the verse. It's Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, so many times we look for things, and it's not about His wisdom or spiritual understanding. We just want to make some kind of understanding out of our scenario. You know, not a spiritual thing, but just, this is my situation. I just want some understanding why this happens. And we kind of leave out at times that what God is doing, the spiritual end of it, His wisdom, His plan, His way, His purpose. So that what? When you get His wisdom, when you figure it out, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him, bearing fruit. Yes, bearing fruit in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your adversity. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in what? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. God uses trials to work on us, to work on others, and to work on life, just life in general. You know, sometimes, you know, we're so self-focused that we think it's just all about us. I'm going through this thing. It's all about me. No, it's not. Now, you may be involved, but I guarantee you, God's doing something in those around you, those that are observing you. He's doing something in life, and it's beyond just you. And sometimes we just get so focused that we forget there's a bigger picture, and there's always a bigger picture with God. There's always something that He's doing. Is He working on you? Absolutely. I'm not discounting that. But just remember, it's not all about you. There's more to it than that. So we look for wisdom, but what is wisdom? Is it just being knowledgeable? You know, what is it? So we're going to define wisdom. Someone once said, "The ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances." Wisdom is the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances and apply heavenly judgment to earthly situations. We live in earth, on earth. We have earthly situations. And we got to figure out God's hand, where's His hand in this, and apply His judgments, His word, His wisdom to our situations. But perhaps it can be better defined by what it accomplishes. And that's what this whole list of what you see there on your outline. Wisdom allows us to take something complicated and make it simple. You ever have a situation and it just seems like, man, this is such a mess and blah, 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 blah. But then when you get wisdom involved, all of a sudden, God's wisdom will just cut through that. And all of a sudden, it seems very simple. I'm going to give you an illustration in a little bit that's going to cover a lot of this. But you know what's funny is, you know, wisdom takes something complicated and makes it simple. You know what's funny? A lot of times we take something simple and make it complicated, don't we? We take something there's an obvious answer to, really, by the word, but we don't like that answer. And so we try to do it our way, and we make it a bigger deal than it should have been. Just because we don't want to go with God on the deal. Because, see, God doesn't know. You know, let me tell you, God, you don't know this situation like I do. I mean, we don't ever really say that, but we kind of act like it. You know, we act it out that way. Yeah. Wisdom, though, godly wisdom, allows us to take something complicated and make it simple. Wisdom can protect you from decisions that could haunt you for a lifetime. I dare say there's most of us in here have made decisions we wish we hadn't made. And it's still with us today, the consequences of it. And it's God uses that for the good too. You learn the lesson, and you apply it to your life. But there's some things we go through that God never intended us to go through. Just take Adam and Eve. God never intended them to die. Just start all the way at the beginning. He never intended for them to die. But they made a decision that haunted them for the rest of their lives. And it caused them to see one son murder another son. And so on, and so on, and so on. I wonder how many times they might have said, "I wish we hadn't listened to the serpent." And they had 900, I mean, you know, we get over it in like 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. I mean, 900 years they had to live with that. Think about that. 900 years. But wisdom does protect you if you so choose to apply it to your life. Wisdom gives you the confidence to go forward or to stop. You know, you're involved in something and it's a good thing or whatever. Do you keep doing it or has the time come that, okay, we're done with this direction and now it's God's moving me to do this direction, to go in this direction. Wisdom gives you the confidence to go forward. You know, I've made decisions, and I'm sure you probably have too. You're like, I'm not sure which way I should go. And so you make a decision, but you're kind of like tiptoeing through it because you're not real confident. But when you've applied wisdom, and you believe it, you believe that God is in this, you just go confidently. Or you stop confidently. This is the end. We're done here. We're going home, you know, or whatever. You do that confidently. Wisdom cuts through the confusion and replaces it with clarity. You know, sometimes stuff's all around and it just seems so confusing. There's so many things happening. You can't get a handle on it. And then somebody gives you some wisdom, either you get it out of God's word or a godly person gives you a verse or something and you go, wow, you know, I knew that verse, but it never came to my mind or, you know, whatever. And you apply it to your life and all of a sudden you can see. You can see where you're supposed to be. You can see what God is doing in some ways. Wisdom cuts through the confusion, replaces it with clarity. Get so many people that from time to time over the years, you get people in my position get asked by people, you know, how do I know God's will for my life? I'd like to know God's will, you know, and they're thinking some big grand thing. You know, God's word that says if you're faithful in a small thing, you'll be faithful in a big thing, and God will add things to your life. And so where I always start is, what are you, you know, you want this big God's will thing. Well, what about the things you know are His will? What about the things that are spelled out in His word that we don't debate over? Should you pray? Yeah. Should you build your relationship with God? Yeah. Should you support the ministry? Yeah. Should you love your neighbor as yourself?
Yeah.
Should you forgive?
Yes.
I mean, these are all things. And God is up there saying, if you're not doing these things that's spelled out, why should I give you the bigger things? Why should I give you the things that aren't in here? Because, you know, there's a lot of God's will that's not in here. This doesn't address every little facet of your life. Should you quit your job and move somewhere else? You're not going to find it in here no matter how hard you look. Okay? It's not in here. Decisions like that are born out of a relationship with God. That's where you get it from. But if you're not doing the things that are obvious, the things that are settled, how can you expect God to drop this big, big thing on you when you're not even doing the stuff that you already know? It cuts through the confusion. You know, people are worried about this big picture. And you know, I talk about there is a bigger picture, and there is. But if you're not doing the little picture, why is He going to give you a big picture? Do the part you already know and trust God to add when He knows it's time to your life. It takes away the confusion and it gives you clarity. Wisdom warns of impending danger. I remember, or a lack of wisdom will throw you into danger. I was working on a stove one time. It was an electric stove. There's 240 volts there. And wisdom said, and I had to change, back in the day when they had these mechanical clocks, okay, I'm dating myself, but, you know, they had these mechanical clocks plugged right into the front of a stove. And I had to replace this clock. And wisdom says, turn the power off before you do this. But Mike says, I can do it without turning the power off. And the reason I didn't turn the power off, well, normally you can unplug a stove, but this one was hardwired. And I went out to the breaker box, and there was 6,000 breakers out there, none of them marked. I mean, seriously, I'd never seen so many breakers. I said, you know what? I've changed this clock a million times. I can change this. I can do this. And I took a screwdriver. Well, I tried to pull it out. It wouldn't come, right? Because they pop in, this particular one. I'll never forget this, obviously. And I slid the screwdriver in there, and, you know, it's just God that led my screwdriver to the one wire that was on that side. And I stuck it in there. If I'd have gone anywhere else, I'd have been fine. But right where I put the screwdriver, and it went pow! And I went like this, and I smelled smoke. And I looked at my screwdriver, and the tip was gone. And I looked at the stove, and the tip was welded to the stove. It put a hole right through the console. So now not only did I need a clock, I needed a whole console. Wisdom will warn you of impending danger. Turn the power off, even if you got to flip 400 breakers. That was the lesson learned that day. There's a little blow to your pride, too. You know, customer comes running in. I'm standing there like this, and smoke coming from my screwdriver. Are you all right? Yeah, but your stove isn't. But it does. I mean, that's a funny one. Unfortunately, you know, I wasn't hurt or anything. But wisdom, it warns of impending danger. Wisdom is always coupled with humility. You know, in my pride, I thought I could do that. In your pride, what have you done that you thought you could pull it off and it cost you? Wisdom is always coupled with humility and the fear of the Lord. You have to fear God. When we were in New Mexico towards the end, there was a lot of... in the church there, at the end, you know, Satan was really doing a number on the church. Really was. And there was a lot of strife. There was a lot of things going on. And we had come in the middle of that in December of 2004. We had come to Victorville for Christmas to visit Gil and Lou and our boys and families. We saw that my father-in-law, he wasn't driving so well anymore. And there was Aunt Mary and Uncle Bob, and they didn't drive. So he was the only one driving, the four of them, him and Lou and my wife's aunt and uncle. And he was, you know, we were concerned. And so we talked about, you know, should we come back? And so we talked about it all the way home. We drove all the way back 700 something miles back to Aztec. And we had all this stuff in the church. So when we get back, and this is like in early January, of 05. And when we get back, you know, the things with the church had gotten worse, and there was a significant group of people that came to me, and they wanted me to take the church. And I kind of wanted to, you know, just to be honest, kind of wanted to. I love those people, good people. There was a lot going on there. And at the same time, my son was planning on getting married. In the midst of all that turmoil, and they were going to be staying in the midst of all that turmoil. And then at the same time, we felt there was a real need for us to come back here because of my wife's parents and her aunt and uncle and all the things that were going there. And I'm using that as the illustration of all these things. It was a very complicated situation. I didn't want to make a wrong decision because a wrong decision could mean ramifications. I wasn't real confident. You know, do I go forward with plans to go back to California? Do I stop? Do I stay right there in New Mexico? There was confusion on my part. And so, actually, that wasn't on. That had happened before we went. I'm sorry. Before we went here for Christmas. And so while I was here, we were talking about it, and we saw the need here in the family. And we were very confused what to do. And so I went to a godly man. In fact, he was one of the guys on that video, is Pastor Wayne. And I said, I told him the whole nine yards, more than what I'm telling you, because it was crazy. Okay, I mean, there was more going on, and it was just wild. And he, you know, and so I said, I need to talk to you. It's really important. He goes, okay, let's go to lunch. We'll meet for lunch. And so I went over, met him at the church. Deb and I went, and we met him at the church. And we get in the car. We're going to go, you know, from the church there on Maple in Maine. And we went up here by to Applebee's or something right here by the mall. And on the way, he says, well, tell me a little bit about what we're going to talk about. So I kind of told him, and he goes, it's very simple. You don't want that church, because that's a mess, and there's nothing good's going to come of that. And besides that, and don't worry about your son. How old's your son? He was like 20, whatever. He's a man. He's going to have to deal with his own issues. Your parents need you, or her parents need you. You need to honor your mother and father. That's the word of God. He just went bip, bip, bip. We didn't even get to the restaurant, you know. And Deb and I had been agonizing over this for months. And we didn't even get to the restaurant. It took 2 minutes. He's like, your son's a man. Let him deal with his own issues. You know, that church is fractured, and you're going to make, half the people will love you. The other half's going to hate you. And you're going to deal with that. And then your parents need you. So, and I'm like, clarity. I had confusion. All of a sudden, I hear that, and it's just like, you're right. Just need someone to tell me, you know? And then on the way back, we talked about it all the way back, and then Deb and I knew, you know, what we had to do, and God worked it all out. In fact, while we, you know, God confirmed it. In fact, it was kind of wild because she had, while we were here that winter, we ran into a guy that was on the board of directors of the Rose of Sharon, and he said, you know, we're having a leadership change. Maybe you ought to throw a application in. And she did while we were here, not knowing anything, whether, you know, she would get that or not. And a few months later, they contacted her and said, we want you. When can you be here? You know, and then I transferred back. I was able to get my job back here, and God just, you know, once the decision was made, God just paved the way. And it was an amazing thing. fear of the Lord. It's, you got to have humility. You know, in my pride, I could have said, I want this church. I can save this church. You know, whatever. In my pride. But I just had to humble myself and say, this is it. This is what I got to do. The fear of the Lord is to relate to Him on His terms. His terms. See, we tend to dictate our terms to Him. And we may not say it that way, but that's what it is. God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Try and negotiate with God. The fear of the Lord is to relate to Him on His terms, not yours. And when you fear God, you never get over the fact that He is God and you are not. Man, sometimes I can't believe how much I think I know when I really know so little. You know, the human condition. He is God and I am not. He knows everything. I do not. He knows what's best. I do not. This one's huge. Wisdom is what God thinks. Remember the verse I had Dave read? You know, it's on your bulletin. It says, get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. Why is that? Here it is. Wisdom is what God thinks. Understanding is how to incorporate His thinking into your life. That's understanding. You know, you ever known some really smart people that got like no clue? They got a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it to their life. When you have, just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you know how to apply it to your life. You could know a million verses. I don't know how many are in there. It's not a million, but you can know them all. If you don't know how to apply it to your life, what's the point? So that's why the Bible says, get the wisdom, but with it, get understanding. Learn how to apply it to your life. That you would please God and that your life would go well for you. Wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. So now we've kind of defined it. So what's the source of it? Well, it's pretty obvious. Verse tells us, says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Pretty simple, huh? God is the source of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You want wisdom? You go to the Lord. You want to learn how to apply it to your life? Go to the Lord. That's where it comes from. Gives to all generously. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to Him. God gives wisdom liberally. That word liberally not only means what the obvious is, like generously, a lot of it. It also means simply, straightforwardly, unconditionally. He doesn't say, well, if you do this, I'll give it to you. There's no condition on it. If you ask, that's really the only condition. If you sincerely ask and you're willing to humble yourself and listen to the answer, you'll get it. He gives it liberally. And He gives it lovingly. It says, without criticizing. The word literally means without hesitation, without reluctance, without reprimand. You ever see or deal with, or maybe you dealt with someone, you went to someone or someone came to you and they said, man, I really need to know how to handle this situation. Here's what's going on in my life. And were you ever tempted to say, what the heck were you thinking when you did that? You know, don't you know better? Blah, 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 blah. You are not worthy of my wisdom. You're stupid. I mean, you know, we don't may not say that, but it's what we're thinking. No reminder. God, He doesn't hesitate. He isn't reluctant. He doesn't reprimand. He doesn't remind us how unworthy we are or how undeserving we are. Why? Because He loves us. And He wants to help us. And He wants us to learn and grow and not make the same mistake again. So He gives the wisdom liberally and lovingly. Wouldn't you just like to get the answer without the lecture? Remember asking different people things at times in my life, and you always had to get the lecture before you got the answer, you know? I love this quote. David Jeremiah. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we will soon yield to that which is around us. What a good quote. You know, if you're not connected this way, all what's going on out here, you'll give in. It'll affect you. The world is constantly bombarding us with its wisdom. Now, you know, not all worldly wisdom is evil, by the way. You know, you should eat your vegetables. Okay? I hate vegetables, but I eat them occasionally. Not broccoli. As it is well known in this congregation. But that there is wisdom that is good. But you know, there's a ton of it out there that is opposed to God. And if you're not connected this way, you'll be affected this way. Very important to be connected to the living God, the God of wisdom and understanding. Life is a tapestry. Your life, and you've heard this. God's weaving. It's woven with the triumphs of your life as well as the trials, along with the mundane, the boring parts of our lives. It's all woven together. Makes up our life. The silver and the gold strands of victory stand in contrast to the dark strands of our valleys. Sometimes I find it very difficult to believe that any good is going to come out of these circumstances. Some of the circumstances, you know, you're like, what good, right? But God sees the finished product and we do not. You always got to remember that. It is the wise person who understands this and in fear and humility trusts God to weave the strands of our lives together that we would become the beautiful finished product that He planned for us to be from the beginning. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He works ever steadily Oftentimes he weaves sorrow, and I in foolish pride. Forget he sees the upper, and I see the underside. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Not until the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and I'll see the reason why. Wisdom just carries you through to see the finished product. I know there's trials, and I know there's pain, but don't think it's for nothing. Don't think that God has forgotten you. Seek his wisdom. That's why he says, that's why James wrote, if you lack it, if you don't see what's going on, if you don't understand it, ask God, and then humble yourself and get your preconceived ideas out of the way and let him communicate with you what he's doing. Bible says he'll give you wisdom liberally and lovingly. Whether the trial was of your making or his, or just a consequence of living in this world. Do you have wisdom? Maybe someone in this room today, maybe right now, is the first time you've thought a wise thought that, and the wise thought would be this, you need the Savior. I've lived my life my way. I've been making decisions my way, and I haven't been considering that there's a Lord, that there's a God that loves me, that died for me, that I could have eternal life. He paid the price for my sin. And all I have to do is ask. Ask him to forgive me. Ask him to save me. And he will. And that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. Do you have that wisdom? Do you have that saving wisdom? I hope so. For the rest of us, is God weaving some dark threads in your life right now? Threads you'd rather not see woven into your tapestry? How are you responding? Is it with pride? Is it with a sense of, I don't deserve this? Or are we responding with, I'm trusting you, God. I don't get it, but I'm trusting you, and please give me wisdom. Help me to see what you are doing in my life. And help me to submit to your will in this area. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have never asked him to forgive me. I've never admitted my need of him in my life. I have lived this life apart from him my way. But I see, I have wisdom now that I need him. Anybody like that? I need Jesus. God bless you. Is there someone here today that would say, Brother Mike, I got some dark threads being woven in my life right now. I'm going through some hard stuff. Anybody like that, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I know there's a lot of things going on here. How many would say, Brother Mike, I'm in the midst of having to make some decisions, and I need wisdom. And I'd like to just like to pray for you that you'd get that wisdom. Anybody like that? I'm making decisions. I need wisdom. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you on behalf of everyone here, Lord, including myself, Lord, that Lord, we need your wisdom. We need it each and every day. Lord God, I pray for the one that raised their hand that they need salvation. I pray, Lord, they would make that decision. Lord, I pray for those that raise their hands that there's some threads being woven and they're having a hard time right now. Lord God, I pray you'd give them light. I pray you'd help them see your hand in the midst of this. And I pray that they would trust in you and not in what they see or in what they feel or in what they're going through. But they would trust in you, Lord, that their faith would be wholly placed upon you. And Lord God, I pray for those that are having to make decisions right now, and maybe they're in a place of confusion, or they're in a place of doubt, and they're not sure which way to go. Lord God, I pray that they would humble themselves before you and seek your word and seek your face, Lord, and ask you for wisdom, and Lord, that you would give it very plainly to them. And that from that point, they would go forward confidently that you are working in their life. Lord God, I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. This is your time to deal with God right now. If you have something you want to pray, come up. I'll pray with you. If you want to deal with God right where you're at, you can do that. Father, Lord God, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for you are a good God. You are a wise God. Help us, Lord, to always look to you first in our issues and look for your wisdom and not our own, that it would go well with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Debbie. She's Audrey's daughter, and she just came forward and accepted Christ as her Savior. And she says she wants to get baptized, so we'll be doing that soon after I talk to her about that. So, but praise God, you know, for His Word and what it does in people's hearts. Thank you, Debbie.